Firstly, I explain my new look. You turn to the Word of God, I think it will help you understand what's happening. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. On Friday, that is 2 days ago, as I awoke at 6 a.m., while it was still dark, and as I hurried to prepare for my meeting with my Lord, my calf went into a cramp. Those of you who have experienced cramps will understand what it is. And when you're in bed, the first thing is to get out and to stand and to stamp on the foot. And then that cramp will go immediately. I tried. But before I could stand, I fell. Thank God the eye is intact. I can see you just as well as before. My nose is intact. No tooth was broken. Isn't it amazing? Only a decoration on the left side. And I tell the ladies, look, I too have eyeshadow now. In everything give thanks. Psalm 37, we read together. And this will help you when you fall. As a child of God, nothing happens without the Father's knowledge. Even a sparrow doesn't fall without the Father's knowledge, you know that. So let's all read together, and this will help you in the days to come. In case you may fall, you remember Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. Everybody, please. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he commits. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Amen. Please remember these verses. They're so precious and so helpful, isn't it? Applicable. Now to our main text for the day. I hope you have been encouraged and blessed with the letters written by the Apostle Paul. Are your letters encouraging to others to read? Do you write letters? Nowadays, people don't write letters. They only SMS. And the art of letter writing is lost. Truly. But thank God, the Apostle Paul wrote so many wonderful epistles, letters. And our text for today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So, I ask you again, have you been blessed reading the letters written by Paul to the churches? For he wrote not only to the churches in that day, but to the churches today. It's so wonderful, isn't it, that what he wrote is still so fresh and applicable. Chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, and the verses 7 to 9 are the text verses, but we will read from verse 1 so that we have a better idea of the whole setting of this epistle. We read responsively, shall we? You will respond, and we go on to verse 12. Verse 1, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, we were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were whole. With much contention. Verse 3, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust in the gospel. even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdens. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse or a nursing mother cherisheth her children, so being a not the gospel of God only, also our own souls, because ye were dear to us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable or burdensome unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses also how hold. Together, verses 11 and 12. As ye know how we comforted. Who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Amen. Thank you. May the words of Paul speak to you as we look into this same passage again. Verse 1. For you know, brethren, he says, reminding the members in the church in Thessalonica, today that city is called Salonika. Do you know how it was formed? How Paul fled, well, not fled, but left the city of Philippi, or Philippi. What happened at Philippi? He had been brutally beaten with stripes, thrown into prison, and legs were fastened in stocks. I have no doubt none of us have experienced that treatment of legs put in stocks. You lie down and the two legs are clamped with a certain contraption that you will not be able to move and run away. Neither do I think any of you have seen it being done anywhere, because it is an old-fashioned kind of punishment. And there, Paul and Silas, for the sake of the gospel, suffering. Now, what did they do? This is history. And Paul says, I remind you, you members in the church in Thessalonica, remember I told you I came from Philippi. And that was how they treated me. Beaten, imprisoned, legs fastened in stocks, left there. What did we do? What would you do? My dear friends, these accounts are to impress on us how we should behave and conduct ourselves, even when we are insulted or in some way abused. Have you? Paul and Silas at midnight sang songs of praise. I don't know how they could do it, but this they did. And the name of the Savior was glorified, and God answered from heaven with a great earthquake. An earthquake that miraculously caused the stocks to open and the legs were freed. God can do marvelous things. Only thing is, we must never lose our hope in our God. which Paul and Silas reminds the Christians in the church in Thessalonica. You remember we came to you out of that kind of circumstance, and we spent 3 days in the synagogue preaching to the Jews. This was his custom. Everywhere he went, straight to the place of worship, because that's the place where the Jews gathered, and certain others who were seeking perhaps the Jewish religion. And there he will reason with them, "Men and brethren, the Messiah you've been waiting for is Jesus Christ. Come already. Not only come, died, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and we are his witnesses." And that is how the church began. Recall the account, how that some of the Jews believed, but the greater number were the Greeks. And out of this number of believers came a church after 3 Sundays only of preaching. How amazing. My dear friends, never underrate the power of the gospel. God has given to us only the gospel as our weapon, not money, not any kind of special craft or art or expertise. Not any of those things. Preaching the gospel is the most wonderful thing that is given to human beings such as you and I. Do you? Do you go and tell? God has no hands and feet or lips and mouth to make known the gospel but yours and mine. And to us is given that privilege. You know what is a privilege? If you are sent to a great country like America as ambassador, that is a privilege. And how will you do it? When you are there, you put on your best behavior as a good Singaporean, an export sample for people to see. Here is Paul, the best example for the Lord Jesus Christ, going, telling the people the Savior has come, and out of it a church began. Now you know what happened? There was a commotion because the unbelieving Jews stirred up the people. They were angry. Why should these strangers come from afar and tell us and disrupt our kind of life? They rioted, and the whole city was in an uproar. What happened? Paul and Silas had to leave Thessalonica, right? But after leaving, he did not forget that group of believers. This is the genius of the gospel preacher. If you witness to a person, and that person believes, you have a special link and relationship with that person because he is the fruit you have borne to the kingdom of God. Paul never forsook them, even though he had to flee because of the uproar of the people. He went. But his heart was back in Thessalonica. So he wrote this letter for their benefit, for your benefit, for my benefit. So back to verse 1. You yourselves, brethren, know our entry unto you. It was not in vain. Even though we had to forsake Philippi to come to Thessalonica, God gave us fruit. After 3 Sundays, there was a church formed. How wonderful. Are you excited? We oftentimes report missions outreach. Last year, a group went to Chiang Rai. How many of you have been there? It's high ground. But it is very primitive. And then for you to go there, it is a roughing out, you know. Not a joy trip, but it's a rough trip. But out of that comes a work Are you concerned? Are you thinking about them? I'm sure those who went will be remembering them often in prayer. How about the rest of us? When we hear of gospel outreaches elsewhere, be concerned. Make it your business. Why? Because these people have become part of the family. And it is your family, my family. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we all are one family. So here it is. So Paul says, our coming to you was not in vain. God gave us fruit. Verse 2. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. Where was this? Philippi. There's a place where they were beaten and cast into prison. You know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. It is always a disappointment when we hear certain of the members, because of some unfortunate event, stop coming to church. How sad it is. Are you moved? Are you concerned? But here, Paul does not give up. Thank God for his example. I say, if you ever feel discouraged, think of Paul. Think of him being beaten. Look at the catalog of his sufferings in 2 Corinthians. Right? Read all that. How many times was he shipwrecked, beaten, cast into prison, threatened with all kinds of things, beatings, sufferings unending. What have we suffered for the Lord? Oh, dear friends, ask the Lord to show you where you can be a good witness for him. Now we go on to verse 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Here Paul is reminding the members of the church, I'm absent from you now, but this letter expresses my concern for all of you. Please remember, when we came, we had only one thing to give to you, only one. And that is the same here. When we came to this church, to begin this church, we had only one thing to give to the people from that time till now, 28 years. What is it? The gospel here, the word of life, the word of everlasting life is the gospel. What is gospel? Good news. Those of you who have never heard, who are still in darkness, worshipping idols. How many of our families worship idols in the old days? Fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers in China, here, worshipping idols. There is nothing more foolish and more disastrous. Paul reminds them, when we came, we gave to you the most precious thing we could give to you, the gospel. We didn't come with enticing words. You know, those days, there were a lot of itinerant peddlers of things. Strangers come from afar and pretend to be thinkers, philosophers, with something new to tell. And then they come with deceit. Confidence tricksters, magicians, sorcerers, all kinds of people. Who are Paul and Silas? Are you one of them? So Paul had to explain to them, look, we are not of that crowd who come to deceive you, to flatter you with words and then deceive you to get your money. We only came to give you that wonderful gospel which has liberated you from the bondage of idols and the bondage of sin and ignorance of darkness. You have been saved. You are now in the church of Jesus Christ. As a family, I said to all of you here the same thing. We were once in darkness before we came to the light. And the only thing that saves you and liberates you from the bondage of idols and other religions is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul reminds them, we gave you the gospel. The most precious thing on earth is the gospel. How well do you know it? How many times have you shared it? Do you know how to share your gospel? Read your weekly. I have written there. The reason why. Please read what I write. It takes time to write. And it is for your good. The reason why is a little booklet. I first came to read in 1947, exactly 60 years ago. And I was so impressed with the presentation of the gospel in that little book, written by a businessman in New Zealand. And it was so touching, so powerful, so moving. I printed 10,000 and gave them away in no time. Various churches came and asked for more and more. In no time, it was finished. So I reprinted another 10,000. Also went. Then for the last, I don't know how many years, it's been out of stock. But last month, I said, let me work again. This time, revise and give it a new dress, a new cover. Next Lord's Day, everyone here will get a copy. On with this one condition, that you read it, then you go and tell somebody about Jesus Christ and give it to him. And you come back and get some more. But next time you got to pay. It will be about a dollar. About a dollar. Very, very, very cheap. We are not here to make your money, but to give you the gospel. The best gospel exposition that I've ever read is the reason why. Okay. Now Paul reminds the Christians in Thessalonica, we gave you the gospel that gives you hope. Hope in life. You know, when you have no hope in life, you're finished. That's why people jump. That's why people take overdose. When they have no hope to live, what for? What do I live for? But Paul reminds them, I gave you the gospel, the best thing you can ever have. And the only thing I have is gospel, and I gave it to you. Thank God for the gospel, therefore. Verse 5, I think, yes. For neither at any time used we flattery, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. How many people fall into the temptation of covetousness, greed? Well, we all know so much about NKF, but there are so many other ways of making illegal money. So many other ways. Let none here fall into any of those traps to try and get an extra dollar by crooked means. So Paul says to them, look, we have shown you the way we live. Our track record is known to all of you. You saw how we live after meetings. That is what is important. Meetings are here, and we put on our best behavior. You see us in a certain garb, in a certain light, and we tell you so many things. But what happens after we get off the pulpit? Where we go, what we do, company we keep, the kind of lifestyle we live, that is important. Because if your lifestyle does not cohere with what you preach, you do not practice what you preach, that gospel falls flat. Absolutely. And people will say, what a hypocrite. Display sheep's head, sell dog's meat. How can it be? So Paul is telling them, look, we never use flattery or deception at any time. You can know, you can tell, because our after hours kind of life, you know. What were we doing after work? Using our hands to support ourselves. As for Paul, making tents. was his craft that he had learned. And it was quite profitable. You make tents that people want to buy, and you sell tents with the work of your own hands, your own hard work. You get some dollars with which to live. And Paul reminds them, look, we have never cheated you of 1 cent. And that is the best proof. Now we come to verse 6. Not of men sought we glory, neither of you. We didn't come looking for people to flatter us and to think that we are great people. No, not at all. We are just humble servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what every servant of God ought to be. Nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome because we are apostles. Yes, indeed. It is the privilege, the duty, and the joy and blessing of the congregation to support the pastors and the full-time staff, to give them a respectable way of life that is normal, that is expected of every good congregation. But Paul says, even though I could have told you to give me a salary, to support me in some ways, I never did. Because I want to be an example to you, for you are so dear to me. And as far as possible, I will work with my hands at night. You're going to read this. In order to support ourselves, in order that we do not become a burden to you, that some of you, weaker in faith, may get some misunderstanding and say, oh, Paul and Silas cause us so much and they demand so much. This Paul never did. Verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even like a nursing mother cherisheth her children. Yes? Which mother will tell the child, hey, you know how much you owe me, huh? And I didn't sleep last night. I've got to look after you. Do you do that? You don't. It is natural. It's normal mother love. And you love the child because it's your child. And you feed the child. You will do anything for the child, even die for the child. So true. And this is what Paul says to them. I look after you as a mother looking after its child. And all the time it is one-way street. My love, my concern, my care, my tears, all for you. I was gentle, never rough, never scolded, never in any way cause you unhappiness. Verse 8. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. So, this is reasoning that perhaps was not necessary, but because Paul wanted to make sure there was no misunderstanding. Nobody should ever misunderstand what is the motive of the pastor sitting here. To make money? No. To save souls and save souls only, and to get all the members into a higher plane of understanding of spiritual life. My little children, of whom I travel in birth, until Christ be formed in you, so says Paul. All of you are like the little children to us. And Paul says, I traveled in birth. This is our key verse for this year, you know. I travel as like a mother giving birth in pain. But does a mother complain when the child is out, give it a good beating, or say, you better remember how hard I had to work to give birth to you? No. Every mother is so happy to have a child. And so says Paul, I am like a mother to you because you are so dear to me. Every spiritual child is dear to the spiritual parent. You bring someone to Christ, that person is special to you, and you are special to him or her. So that is that link. And this is what Paul is talking about. Dear members of the church in Thessalonica, I love you. The way I've done it, you can see from all the track record. I left you in a hurry because of the peril to my life. I had to escape because they were coming, brutal. And God gives wisdom that you should escape. But our heart is back there in Thessalonica. The eighth verse is actually our key verse for this morning's meditation. I read it to you. Verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel, the most precious thing we have, but also the other thing that we have inside us, our soul. If possible, we'll give you our souls. Meaning to say, if there is still anything else we can do, we will do it. You know, there is such an expression as, he did it with heart and soul, right? Not half-hearted. If you're giving it a task and you do half-hearted, how disgusting it is to see a person work half-hearted, or a student studying his books half-hearted. Oh, my friends, God has given us many things to do, but I say, everyone has an assignment, and whatever God gives you to do, if it is worth doing, of course, it's worth doing well. Never do anything half-hearted. But if God gives you an assignment to do, do it with heart and soul. Everything you have, you pour into it. So Paul says to these people, look, when we came, we did not take one cent from you. But we gave you the best thing that money cannot buy, gospel. We gave it to you freely, did not charge you. Now, if there's anything else I can do, even my soul, I give it to you. Meaning to say, tell me, is there something else you need? Is there something else I need to do for you? I will do it. Even with my heart and soul, I will do it. What an expression of love. Do we love others like that? Do we go to those in darkness with the gospel and say, I come to you with heart and soul in order that you may find the best thing under the sun, the gospel. Verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. We lived off ourselves. We ate off our own food. We labored night and day. And when we come to you, we cost you nothing. And you have received the best thing in life, the gospel. Do you know that? I say we can say the same of this church. Or any church we do, we never charge you, but we do our best for you. Verse 10, you are witnesses, and God also, how holily, justly, unblameably we behaved ourselves, we lived our life openly. You can see us where we live. You can live with us and see how we live. All this is known to you. It is a clean, a pure, transparent life. Don't you see it? Think of Paul having to write this letter in order that any misunderstanding that may have been sown by enemies, remember, there were enemies. The unbelieving Jews go around and badmouth them and spread all kinds of unkind things about Paul. Yes, so it is. These are the treacherous brethren. And they badmouth him. So Paul had to write all this. And I say, may everyone who lives as a Christian live that kind of life that is transparent. Anybody can see what you do. Any time of the day, 24 hours a day, what do you do? Let it be seen. This is the kind of life that Paul lived. Verse 11 and 12. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Amazing. What Paul is saying is, there are two sides of our care of you. Firstly, as a mother, so kind and tender and loving. Absolutely. Then as a father, disciplining and telling you perhaps hard truths, but with affection nonetheless. So it is a two-sided. The gentleness, the graciousness of the mother, and the discipline and the fatherly care of a father. Now we come to the final thought. Verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. This is the end point of our salvation, dear friends. Saved to live for Christ. Saved to serve him wherever you go. That there is a day coming when you will not regret it. And that day is described in the last two verses of this chapter. Now we read that, then we will conclude. Verse 19. For what is our hope coming to Thessalonica to preach the gospel? What is our hope? Or joy? Or crown of rejoicing? What is it we come here for? Now do you know what is it we do the gospel? What is it? Here it is. Listen. Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Where is the gospel recompense? Are we going to do missions to save souls and you get nothing through? No, you're going to get something most wonderful. That something wonderful is in verse 19. For what is our hope going to do gospel and missions? Or what is our joy or crown of rejoicing? You, even you, in the presence of our Lord Jesus, at his coming, you will be the fruits. When the Lord says, what have you done? This is what I've done, Lord. These members that were saved from the rioting in Thessalonica, became a church that steadfastly followed the Lord Jesus Christ, received my letter and were encouraged, and they never backslided. You are our hope. You are our joy. At his coming, every letter ends with a thought. At his coming, every chapter. You read this 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. It's an amazing book, isn't it? So I say, dear friends, our coming here every Lord's Day, let it not be a drab and dull routine. Oh, coming to church, the same old thing. Going back afterwards, the same old thing. Why come to church? And my friends, be excited with the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every chapter, Paul says, look, how are you living as a Christian? The Lord is coming. When he comes, we'll be ready for him. So this is what he says. Verse 12 again. Paul says, I would that you walk worthy. It is my greatest hope and desire and prayer. You continue to be a good Christian. Because he has called you to his kingdom and glory. You're a Christian not just to be a good Singapore citizen, which you ought to be. But when you know the gospel, you have a greater citizenship. You are a member of the kingdom of God and live as one because the king is coming. When he comes, be ready for him. And as far as I, Paul, am concerned, or the pastor is concerned, on that day we'll stand before him faultless, blameless, and together with you all present you to the Lord. Lord, here are the fruits of the gospel that you've given to us. That is the hope. That is the joy. Not money, not anything else. But verse 19, what is our hope? What is our joy? What is our crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Verse 20, for you are our glory and joy. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, may the words of the Apostle Paul written to the church in Thessalonica help all of us to understand what it is to be a Christian and to be a witness for God. Send us forth then, Lord, all of us, with a mission to live for Thee, to tell others about Thee, until we see the Lord Jesus one day at His glorious return. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.